matra upapanna samasta shakto.
Ananda matra upapanna samasta shakto.
Bhaktim vidaya paramam shanakara vidya.
Bhaktim vidaya paramam shanakara vidya.
Grantim vibhetsya simamahamiti prarudham. Tvam, you, Prajak Atmani, unto the Super Soul, Tada, at that time,
Bhagavati,
unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Anante,
who is unlimited,
Ananda Matre,
the reservoir of all pleasure. Upapanna, possessed of. Samasta, all. Shakto, potencies. Bhaktim,
devotional service.
Vidaya, by rendering.
Paramam,
supreme.
Shanakai,
very soon. Avidya,
of illusion.
Grantim,
the knot.
Vibhechyasi,
you will undo.
Mama,
my.
Aham,
I.
Iti,
thus.
Prarudham,
firmly fixed.
Translation and purport for His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus regaining your natural position and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure, and who lives in all living entities as the Super Soul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and mine. Translation responsibly. Thus regaining your natural position.
Thus regaining your natural position.
And rendering service unto the Supreme Lord.
And rendering service unto the Supreme Lord.
Who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure.
Who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure.
And who lives in all living entities as the Super Soul.
And who lives in all living entities as the Super Soul.
You will very soon forget the illusory understanding.
You will very soon forget the illusory understanding.
Of I and mine. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj was already a liberated person because at the age of 5 years he had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even though liberated, he was, for the time being, afflicted by the illusion of Maya, thinking himself the brother of Uttama in the bodily concept of life. The whole material world is working on the basis of I and mine. This is the root of attraction to the material world. If one is attracted by this root of illusory, what are you guys doing? If you want to play Play-Doh, go and sit down the back somewhere. Don't play at the front. Okay. This is the root of attraction to the material world. If one is attracted to this root of illusory conceptions, I and mine, he will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. By the grace of Lord Krishna, the sages and Lord Manu reminded Dhruva Maharaj that he should not continue this material conception of I and mine. Simply by devotional service unto the Lord, his illusion could be eradicated without difficulty. Amagyan Dhimadandasya Kinanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Vancha Kalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhi Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasahi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this chapter, we're seeing that Dhruva Maharaj is overcome by anger. Right? He becomes completely disturbed, too much angry. As we've said in the last few classes, Rupa Goswami, he mentions in the beginning of the Upadeshamrita, there are six things that we have to be very careful of in devotional service. And one of them is anger. Anger is detrimental to bhakti. So, as it is said by Rupa Goswami, he explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion, Prabhupada said this is the law book for ISKCON. In other words, how we live our lives, it's based upon the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of devotion. And Prabhupada said it's one of the four most important books. What are the four most important books? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, the Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada said, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that book he wrote. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You can say Chaitanya Charitamrita because it's based on that. So, Prabhupada said, these are like the pillars of ISKCON, these four books. And Prabhupada said, everything we need to know in devotional service is in those four books. So if you master those four books, if you become a scholar, if you read them carefully, then you will become learned in the science of bhakti, of devotional service. Prabhupada himself was given the title by his godbrothers, Bhakti Vedanta. Bhakti Vedanta means someone who is very learned. And then Prabhupada himself expected all of his followers to also read his books. And he said 1 hour a day minimum, or 2 hours a day. Hands up, you read 1 hour a day every day, Prabhupada's books. Okay, 3 or 4 or 5. So Prabhupada gave them the instruction, said 1 hour. And then sometimes devotees would say, I don't have time. And Prabhupada would say, then eat less and sleep less. You got time to eat and sleep? Then reduce your eating, reduce your sleep, and you'll have time. Then you can read Prabhupada's books. So 1 hour a day minimum, Prabhupada said. And then if you read Prabhupada's books, you will become fixed in your consciousness. Stitadir. Stitadir means like fixed in your consciousness, not wavering in our consciousness. Now, as the Prabhupada expected all of us to become learned. He wanted us to read his books regularly and study them. And that's why he established the courses. So he gave the courses, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma. And now in ISKCON is becoming a regulation, a law, to take second initiation, Brahman initiation in ISKCON, you have to have the Bhakti Shastri degree. So it's becoming established. So it means that there is a high standard. So you have to become learned in Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said, like the lawyers know the law books, or like the Christians know the Bible, we should know Prabhupada's books. If you know Prabhupada's books, you will not fall into Maya. Otherwise you'll be bewildered by the illusory energy. So if you look in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it describes the root cause of our bondage in this material world. So where does it begin?
Avidya.
Yeah, avidya. Avidya means? Ignorance. Vidya means?
Knowledge.
The soul is Satchit Ananda. Full of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. So originally we were full of knowledge. What is perfect knowledge? Perfect knowledge is Krishna consciousness. When you are conscious of Krishna, that is knowledge. And when you forget Krishna, that is called avidya. When we forget Krishna, then that is illusion. And that is, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says that is the root cause of bondage in the material world. It all begins with avidya. Forgetting Krishna. Krishna bahir mukh means turning your back to Krishna. One time Prabhupada explained, the Western people, they are a long way from Krishna. You have to make someone, a Westerner, into a devotee. They're a long way from Krishna. You have to bring them very carefully. Prabhupada said, when you are preaching, it is like when a mother is breastfeeding the baby. So the mother is breastfeeding the baby. If you give too much milk, the baby will regurgitate. If you give too little, the baby will have pains and become sick. So when you're preaching, it has to be like that. If you give too much Krishna consciousness, people say, oh, and they go away. You people are fanatics. And if you give too little, they don't develop. So it's like you have to be daksha, expert, when bringing someone to Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, said, you have to shed gallons of blood to make one person a devotee. It takes a lot of work to make someone. So Western people, you have to bring them very carefully, very slowly. Just like at our farm, we are preaching. Now we have 3 Western people are chanting 16 rounds every day. And then a few others who are chanting every day also, Westerners. Takes a lot of effort. And you have to be very careful, very gradual. A lot of care and attention. Prabhupada said, like a Bengali mother. You have to have the courage of an... Prabhupada said, when you preach, you have to have the courage of an Englishman and the heart of a Bengali mother. Preaching means you have to be courageous, bold, and also very soft, and look after the people, very tender. Then you can make people into devotees. So the Western people, you have to gradually bring them in. And Prabhupada said, the Indians, they're very close to Krishna. Western people, a long way, you have to bring them in. Prabhupada said Indian people are already devotees, but they have their back turned. So close to Krishna, well, you have to go. Then they see Krishna, and then easy. Already devotees, Prabhupada said. But bahir mukh means back against Krishna, ignoring Krishna, and confused. Just like the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has 3 sections. What are the 3 sections of the Gita? Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga. 3 divisions. And if you look at the Vedas, all of the Vedic knowledge, it's in these 3 divisions. Bhakti, Karma, Jnana. And then we call Upasana Kanda. Jnana Kanda, Karma Kanda, Upasana Kanda. And then the Bhakti section. Which is it. But basically these 3 divisions. So Western people, what is their main obstacle to surrendering to Krishna? Calm. They're too much in sense gratification. So you have to bring them out of sense gratification. Not so easy to do. Because sense gratification, it is addictive. Vishaya charya. Narottam Das Thakur says, this is what keeps us in the material world. The desire to enjoy the senses. Western people are very attached. Hard to bring them out from that desire for sense gratification. Prabhupada came to America and then he was giving a lecture at the Rath Yatra in San Francisco, Golden Gate Park, Hippie Hill. Prabhupada was giving... From the Rath Yatra cart, Prabhupada is lecturing. And then everyone's there, a lot of hippies, and like right in the height of the hippie era in America, in Golden Gate in San Francisco. And after the Rath Yatra, Prabhupada's sitting on the cart lecturing, the hundreds of people are there. And then after Prabhupada is speaking, then one hippie stands up down the back and says,
I want to have sex. What is wrong with sex?
The Prabhupada giving a lecture. You have to give up meat eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex.
I want to have sex.
Prabhupada said to his disciples, what is that? Prabhupada couldn't hear him properly. He wants to have sex, Prabhupada.
Yes, but then you will become an animal.
Prabhupada, very powerful. And this is what Prabhupada was doing. He's going into the Western culture, hedonistic culture based on sense gratification, right? And he goes right into the middle of it. You know, all the Westerners are attached to sense gratification. He says, no illicit sex. This is the regulative principle which devotees struggle with. Meat eating, no problem. Intoxication, most devotees, no problem. Gambling, no problem. Illicit sex, difficult. Because that's what the whole material world is based on, sex life. Prabhupada says in the first canto, first chapter, first verse in the purport, he says, sex life is the active principle of the material world. Right? The whole thing just goes on by sex life, that's all. Just like right now, there's a big traffic jam on the Westgate Bridge. All because of one thing, sex life. Right? All the big buildings, Rialto Tower, Eureka Tower, all that, it's all sex life. All these things, everything is material world, it's all based on this one thing. So Prabhupada comes in the middle and he says, give it up and just serve Krishna. Prabhupada came right into the heart. So the Western people are too much attached to sense gratification. So we have to deal with them very gradually. And how do we help them to give up their attachment to sense gratification? Very good. Yeah. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, param drishtva nivartate. Nivartate means you can give something up if you have something better. So we have to give them the higher taste. So the Western people, you don't say give up this, give up that. You just give them something better. Just like, what do you prefer, gulab jamun or mashed potato? Both? Okay. Hands up, you prefer gulab. Hands up, you prefer mashed potato. Hands up, both. Okay. That's okay. You can. Prabhupada said, when you take prasad, Tamal Krishmaras was sitting with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was taking prasad. 1968. And then he said, which order should I eat everything? Prabhupada said, there are no hard and fast rules in prasad. Prasad you can take as you like. You want to eat the sweets first? That's no problem. You can do whatever you want. There's no rules in prasad. You can take as you like, because everyone has their own particular taste. So you can take. But generally, for most people, they'll take the gulab before the mashed potato. So if you want to make Western people, you have to give them the higher taste. And you see, 66, then Prabhupada was in 26 Second Avenue, and then what did he do? Yeah, he had gulab jamuns next to the front door of the temple. Right? 26 Second Avenue, big jar of gulab jamuns. Right? Just left them there. Right? So if anyone wanted to leave Krishna consciousness, they would have to go past the gulab jamuns. So some devotees said, they went, they were leaving, they stopped, opened the jar, had some, they thought, no, it's good here. So they stayed. Higher taste. Well, you have to give them the higher taste. If Prabhupada had all that mashed potato near the front door, you know, people would not have stayed. You have to give them the higher taste. That's the principle. So this is how we make. So the Western people are very much attached to karma. The Indian people, these days, because Kali Yuga is progressing, also karma is a big problem. Sense gratification is a big problem. But Prabhupada pointed out, their problem is jnana, misconception. They're close to Krishna, but they have the back. Because they have misconception. They don't understand the philosophy. They think they understand the philosophy. You meet the Indian people, I know. Bhagavad Gita, I know. I know. Just like every year when I go to the Holy Dham, we travel from Mayapur to Puri on the train overnight. Every year I get some person sent to me by Krishna. Some Indian person sits next to me and they can see we're devotees. And they say, ah, Bhagavad Gita, I know. Ah. Every year they give some philosophy and we have to dismantle it. You know Radha Raman Prabhu? Purujan Prabhu's servant over there in Perth. So one day we were together on the train. One man, he said something about Jagannath. He said some misconception about Jagannath. Jagannath something like this. So Radha Raman looked at me, he goes, do you want to do it or do you want me to do it? I said, you do it, I want to chant. So Radha Raman got into him. So this is misconception. It's Indian people. So we have to, that's why we have to understand the philosophy very nicely. Because we have to establish Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even when Prabhupada first came to America, he established ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, people advised Prabhupada, they said, call it International Society for God Consciousness. And Prabhupada said, no, it must be Krishna. Right? We can establish that Krishna is supreme. Right? We have the philosophy to establish he is supreme. Right? It is not generic. We can prove that God is Krishna. He is a person. He's a blue cowherd boy. We can prove that. We have the philosophy. But you have to become learned to convince people of that philosophy. Even when Prabhupada went to India, he sent his disciples to South India. And in South India, Krishna is not as popular. In North India, in Gaudadesh, he's more popular in Gaudadesh, in the five provinces of the north. Panchadravida, in the southern, if you're reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and Adi Lila, Prabhupada explains this. Five provinces in the south are called Panchadravida. It's a different mood of bhakti down there. It's more Vaikuntha worship. Narayan is more, you don't see as many Krishna temples south. Yeah, some are there. You know, Dupi Krishna and like that. But mostly it is Narayan. And Ramachandra is very prominent. So Prabhupada sent the disciples to preach in South India. They wrote back to Prabhupada and they said, people down here, they understand that Lord Ramachandra is supreme. And that's how they think about it. Ram is supreme. And they wrote back and they said, should we preach like this? Ram is supreme. And Prabhupada wrote back and he said, no, you must preach that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ramachandra is his expansion. So Prabhupada was emphatic. So we have to learn the books. If you don't learn the books, you can't convince people. We can defeat anyone. We can defeat anyone. We can convince anyone. We know the philosophy. But you have to know the philosophy. That's why you have to read Prabhupada's books regularly. But Prabhupada once said, or he said a number of times actually, the problem with my disciples, they do not read my books enough. They don't become learned enough. And one guru in ISKCON, one sannyasi, he said to me one time, he said, most of the devotees in our movement don't understand our philosophy. And actually, I was speaking to Andy Ruta Prabhu last night. After class, he came in and then we were speaking. And he said that many devotees are coming now for initiation in the congregation, but they don't know enough, actually. So we're upping the standards for education. It's becoming more and more and more rigorous, which is how it should be. Yeah, you need to read this, you need to read that, and you can do it. Then you can take shelter. Right, and after you've taken shelter, then you have to do this, and then Prabhupada said, before you take Brahman Nisha, you have to have Bhakti Shastri. You have to learn these things. Right? It's rigorous. Right? Prabhupada said, we want a class of Brahmanas, people who are learned in the philosophy, who can convince others about the philosophy. You don't want devotees who, you ask a question, the devotee is like, oh, I'm not sure, That's okay in the beginning, but not after you've been a devotee for a number of years. Just like when Tamal Krishnamurti, my Guru Maharaj, when he joined the temple, he'd been in the temple for 3 days, and then devotees said to him, can you give class tomorrow morning? And he said, what will I say? And they said, whatever you want. That's okay back in 1968. If you're going to sit here now, you have to know. You can't sit here, all right, and speak if you can't answer the questions. Right? Devotees have got questions. You have to answer the questions. You have to know the books. Right? That is the qualification. When you sit here, you're representing Vyasadeva. Right? So you have to be a learned personality. Right? And the GBC, our governing body in ISKCON, right, they're preparing at the moment because many of Prabhupada's disciples will not be here in 20 years. Right? It'll be the second generation will be running ISKCON. So they're stabilizing or establishing things now so that things will go on properly. And one thing that they're looking at is that at the moment in ISKCON we have about 140 gurus in ISKCON. But with all the congregation, hundreds and thousands, and you know, they've worked out that we need something like 11,000 gurus in ISKCON if it's going to go on and become like a worldwide society. So that means devotees sitting here in this room, you have to become gurus. And everyone says, oh, you know, I can't be a guru. No, you have to become. Prabhupada's order. Lord Chaitanya's order. Yari Dai. Yari Tari. How's it going? Yari? Tari Kaha, Krishna Upadesh. Yeah. Amara Agaya, Guru Hana, Tara Edesh. On my order, you must become. You have to become a spiritual master. Okay, most of us won't become Diksha Gurus, but we have to become Shiksha Gurus. You have to become qualified to instruct and guide the other devotees. And some of us will have to become Diksha Gurus. That's the system. Otherwise, the movement's not going to go on. What happens? All the gurus pass away, and then what? Oh, there's no one qualified. No, we have to become qualified. You have to become learned in the science of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada accepted that. He expected that. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says the root cause of our problem in this world, or our bondage in this world, is avidya. And because of avidya, then the whole cycle of bondage starts in this material world. And then what comes after avidya? Bija, kuta. What is the order? Bijam, then? Papa. Kuta. Aparabdha. Parabdha. Then where will you put? Then you'll put kuta. Okay. So you want to do it like that? Okay. We'll get the order correct. Oh, that's it. So first of all is bijam. Now, what is bijam? A seed. Now, what seed is there? The seed for pap. Pap means? Sinful activity. We came to this material world. Prabhupada explains, originally we were all Krishna conscious. Prabhupada says that 1966 on the Krishna Conscious Happening album. You hear Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That album. That was produced in 1966. Prabhupada lectures a little bit on that album. He said, originally we were all Krishna conscious, which means we all came from spiritual world. We were with Krishna, Vaikuntha or Goloka. You know, hopefully Goloka. Right? So we were with Krishna. But then what happened? You want to be independent. The Krishna said, no problem. Go and enjoy yourself. And then you went into this material world. So now we're in the material world. This is called avidya. We forget Krishna. When Prabhupada says in the 8th canto, when you first come into the material world, you take birth as Lord Brahma or a great demigod, a Prajapati. He used to be Lord Brahma. Do you remember? Used to have four heads, four faces. Chaturmukha. You remember? We used to be. We were Brahma or Prajapati, great, powerful demigod. When we first came here, that was the first birth. So we were still devotees, right? We were devotees, but we wanted some control. So Krishna said, okay, go to the material world. You can serve me, but you will serve like that as a controller. But then through association, asatsanga, by associating the material energy, then bija. Bija means the seed of sinful activity, the desire for sin. That became established in the heart. So then what do we do when the desire is there? If the desire is in your heart, what will happen? Right. It will come out in your words and it will come out in your deeds. That's why you have to cure yourself in the mind, in the consciousness, the citta. You have to remove the desire for sinful activity. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to follow the four regulative principles. You have to remove the desire to commit that sin. That's the secret. Because otherwise you'll struggle. Externally you can say, I'll cut these things off, but the desire is still there. Krishna says, third chapter of Gita, that is called Michachar. Means outside you stop things, but inside still meditating on. Money and women in the heart. Sex life and wealth. This desire is there within the consciousness, the citta. So then, that bids, that desire, if we act upon it, then it becomes pap. Pap means you commit a sinful activity. And then if you commit the sinful activity, then what takes place? You get karma. And that is called, first of all, aparabdha, karma. Aparabdha means we did sinful activities previously, in our previous life or in this life, but the fruit has not come, the reaction did not come yet. It is waiting. It is all in our subtle body and it's going to come. How does that make you feel? Scared. Right? Scared. Because it's all coming. It's all in our subtle body. It's just waiting to manifest. And it will manifest. That is called aparabdhika. And then, when it manifests, that's called parabdha. That means the karma is manifest now. It comes out. Now we have this problem, we have that problem, we have debt, we have ill health, we have a bad marriage, we have debt, ill health and a bad marriage. We have... it all comes. That's the parabdha. Yeah. And then that leads to kuta. Kuta means... like a sinful proclivity. It becomes like embedded in our consciousness that we can perform sin again and again. We become conditioned to it. And that's when we become nichabada. Nichabada means conditioned to perform sinful activity. You become conditioned. And you just keep doing it again and again and again. Even though we know we should not do it. Arjuna says to Krishna, third chapter of the Gita, Krishna, sometimes I know I should not do something, but I do it anyway. What makes me do that? What does Krishna say? Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguno, samudbhava. No. Krishna says, no. It is karma only, Arjuna. It is your lust is making you do it. That's your sinful proclivities within you. I know I should not do it, but I will do it anyway. That is. So therefore, Krishna is saying, we have to give those things up. You have to get the higher taste and purify yourself and give up that desire. You have to break the cycle. Otherwise, you just stay here in the material world, birth after birth. Just like in the morning. What are the prayers we sing at Mangalati? What are those prayers called? It's actually called Guru Vashtaka. But we... quite often devotees say the samsara prayers. I'm praying for samsara. Krishna, please keep me in the samsara. Davanala. Nita loka. Davanala means a forest fire. Birth and death is like being in a forest fire. Hands up if you feel like you're in the forest fire. Good.
That's good.
That's Krishna's mercy. If it's intense, that's good. Because when it becomes intense, you'll give it up. Otherwise, you won't give it up. I know myself, I'm seeing. Yeah, I've been practicing devotional service in this lifetime for a number of years, but the desires are not going away. It's only when you suffer that Krishna forces you to become detached. We need Krishna's help. Otherwise, I know myself, the desires don't go away. I mean, they get smaller or manageable or whatever, but the actual root of it does not. You have to suffer. Suffering is Krishna's mercy. Suffering in the material world, key? Yeah. Enjoying yourself. When you become advanced in devotional service, you accept the suffering as Krishna's mercy. Queen Kunti says, let it come again and again, because then I remember you. That's the consciousness of advanced devotees. So in this material world, we're bound by avidya. And if you want to get out of this cycle of birth and death, Krishna says at the end of the Gita, please, Arjuna says, give me your final instruction. Krishna says, mamana bhava mabhava. He gives four things. Then Arjuna says, it's not written in the Gita, but the acharyas say that Arjuna says, just give me one thing. Then Krishna says, Savadaman Purujaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. That one line, that's the whole Bhagavad Gita. Mam Ekam Sharana Vraja. Just surrender unto me. Then you can destroy. Moksha Yashami Ma Suchaha. Moksha means, I will liberate you from all of the problems you have in this world. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there's any questions or comments. What we discussed. Any other questions? Okay, I'll take one more. Any questions? When you first come, there is no karma because you just got here. Right? It's like when you arrive somewhere. Say you go to another temple. Right? You just get there. There's no karma because you just got there. You stay there for a while and then you start, offending this devotee and you get involved in the politics and then suddenly now you're involved in something. Right? So when you first get here, there's nothing. But then by association with the material energy, then you get involved. Right? And then you do the wrong things and then it goes. Okay, so you look in the fourth canto. Which canto is this? Oh, the fourth. Okay. So what was the pastime before this one? Daksha Yagya, right? So that was in the beginning of the universe. That's a long way back. And you see, that was a long way back. But Daksha was one of the Prajapatis. That's the kind of person that you take birth as. Daksha or Brahma or everyone was there in that pastime. It was like all the Prajapatis were there. It was a very powerful group that were there. So Daksha, even right back in the beginning, he offended Shiva. Because he thought, I am Daksha. I'm so powerful. When he walked in, everyone stood up. Oh, Maharaj. So he thought, yes, I am Maharaj. Who is this guy? He doesn't stand up. He has ash on him. He is tamasi. So he committed offense to Shiva. That was a big mistake. That was a big mistake. So that's how it happens. In the beginning, there's no problem, but we cause the problem. So you have two options in this life. Say nothing and don't do anything. Don't interact with anyone. And that's why people go to the forest in the Vedic times. They just get away from the whole thing. Because as soon as you get involved, it becomes a problem. That's why everyone goes up to the forest, up to the mountains. And then even you go up there and then some deer runs past and you get attached to the deer and then... You know, what story was that? Bharat Maharaj. Which canto is that? Which canto? Bharat Maharaj. Huh? Does anyone in this con know? Has anyone got Google?
Fifth canto.
Huh?
Fifth canto.
Fifth canto. Huh? Bharat Maharaj. Huh? That pastime is there. Huh? Because he became attached to?
Deer.
A deer. Huh? So even you go up into the Himalaya, huh? Your mind is still there. Huh? So attachment will come. So then, what's more practical? To go out to the Himalaya or to stay here? Stay here is more practical, right? But if you stay here, you have to purify your thoughts, your words, and your deeds in Krishna's service. Just like Harikesh Prabhu, he was a disciple of Prabhupada. So he was servant of Prabhupada. So he used to cook for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was traveling around different temples and he was cooking for Prabhupada. So one time he was cooking, they went to one temple, he was cooking, and all the Mataji's, here's Brahmachari, Mataji's are coming into the, while he's cooking. So he went to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, I can't cook your lunch. I'm Brahmachari, the Mataji's keep coming in, they're making the milk sweets, doing all this, talking. I can't do it. Prabhupada said, go to the forest. Prabhupada said, go to the forest. You say, Prabhupada, I can't go to the forest. And Prabhupada said, you tolerate. You tolerate. If you can't be in the kitchen, there's some Matajis around, you're so disturbed, then that's your problem. You're not disturbed when the men are around. Right? It's just because in the bodily concept of life, it's just the form is different, that's all. In Maya, we get attached to a form. And because we think I am one form, that is another form, we become attracted and attached and it disturbs our consciousness. Actually, it's just different forms. It's just like when the potter makes something out of clay. So he makes one form or he makes another form. But the power of Maya, it makes us become attached to that form. Lord Chaitanya says, my mind becomes disturbed even when I see the form of a woman. Like you go to India, like Durga Puja, Kali Puja. They make the clay form, like the figurine. When I go there, Kartik time, it's around Durga Puja time. Everywhere there are the forms of Durga. You can see the breasts and the shape of the woman, like that. Right? So Lord Chaitanya says, just when I see that form, my mind becomes disturbed. He's teaching us. His mind is not disturbed, but he's teaching us. Right? We have to become detached from the spirit of enjoyment. We see things falsely. We see things materially. So we have to rise above these things. Is that okay? Do you want to add anything? Any other question? Yes, sir.
Last night we were talking about Rukmi. Rukmi. How Rukmi was killed by Garbal Devi.
Yeah.
So he was having, friends who were so demonic. And birds of the same feather flock together.
That's true.
So when they were trying to insult Lord of the Day, he did Pritraya Sadhana Vinasha Dushkritam. So he had to kill the Dushkritam.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have to kill the Dushkrita in our consciousness. In Kali Yuga, the devotee and demon are in the same body. I have two people living in here. One is Keshava the devotee, the other one is Keshava the demon. It depends which time of the day you get. You will get one or the other. Both are living in it. Right? Sometimes you'll see the devotee, and other times you'll see the asura. Both are in there. Hare Krishna. I pray to Krishna to destroy the asura. So you have to rid yourself of that demoniac propensity. So, any other question?
How do you control our mind? We know what pious activities we have to do. We should not think anything bad about anything. But still in mind, it automatically comes and we feel helpless. What to do?
Krishna asked the same question in the Bhagavad Gita. He said, chapter 6, he said, the mind is like the raging wind. Krishna said two words, how to control the mind. What were those two words? Abhyas. And? Vairagya. Yeah, those two words. If you're dealing with the mind, two words. Abhyas means practice. Yeah, you have to beat it. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru. In the morning, 100 times. With?
Shoes.
Evening, 100 times. With? Stick. So you have to beat your mind. It means you have to practice again and again. If you keep following this process sincerely, right? If you do it properly, the problem is a lot of devotees don't do it properly. That's the problem. Process is perfect. There's no problem. We don't do it properly. You chant japa. You have to chant japa. I see devotees chanting japa and talking and reading the notice board. That's not japa. That's offensive chanting. That's inattentive chanting. That won't get the result. That will take you lifetimes. Bahu jamma kadiyadi shravani. You go lifetimes before you go back to Krishna. If you do it properly, chanting attentively and deeply and meditatively, then gradually, if you keep following that process, the mind becomes easier to control. And vairagya. Vairagya means you have to become detached. So what does the mind say? Same thing. My mind says same thing. Same thing it was saying 10 years ago, it was saying 20 years ago, 30, same thing. I'm chanting my japa. Oh, Keshava, I think we should do this. Yeah, okay. I heard this before. Okay. I didn't hear Krishna heard again. No, I think we should do this. Okay. We'll do it later. Okay? TK? Okay. I didn't hear Krishna heard again. Like that. You have to become detached from it. Don't let it control you. So you have to practice. It takes time. So the question is how to control the mind. Right? If you understand how to, tell me. Yeah, that's the thing. It's practice. It takes time. Rupa Goswami says, utsahan, nishchayat, daryat. In devotional service, you have to be patient. You won't become perfect in 1 year or 1 week. It will take time. You have to be patient, steadfast, determined. You will get there. Okay? You want to add anything?
If we are thinking something wrong, it means we are creating bad karma. If only thinking, we are not doing.
If you think something.
We are not doing it purposely. It's automatically coming.
If you think something bad about one other devotee,
yeah.
Do you get reaction? Yeah. Not in Kali Yuga. Yeah, because if you got reaction, you'd probably be dead in about 2 days. So in Kali Yuga, there's no reaction for the thinking. But the problem is, if you keep thinking it, it will come out in your words and your deeds. So you've got to learn to think the opposite way. Think nice things about the devotees. See the good qualities. Please. Any other question? And do something for the devotees. Serve the devotees. Don't just think something, do something. Be practical. Serve the devotees. If you serve them, then you'll be safe. If we don't serve, then the mind will be disturbed. Any other question? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.